Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Yeah, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, full of gratitude, Father, full of thankful hearts for what your Son Jesus did for us on the cross. And Lord, we come before you at the start of a new year, Lord, and as we get ready to get into your word, Lord, we thank you for your word, that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, would you speak to us this morning through your word? We pray for open hearts and open ears this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can grab a seat. Good morning. Good morning. As Jake said, my name is Ezra. I'm the youth pastor here at Crossroads, and it is my privilege to be bringing you the first part of our new series that we're calling Summer Sabbath. And I know for many of us, summer can be a time where things really slow down, right? A few less work deadlines, no school drop-offs, a few more hours of daylight to enjoy. Yet for others, summer can actually be a time where things start to ramp up a bit, you know, no school drop-offs, parents. A few more work deadlines, and actually all that more daylight means is just more time to get those projects done around the house that you've been putting off all year. But whatever the summer season looks like for you, I'm really believing that this series will be beneficial. And really our prayer for you as we go into this is that you would be equipped and prepared with some tools for healthy biblical rest in 2025. In a world that values the grind, the hustle, the go, 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 and where oftentimes it just feels like we're trying to stay afloat with the constant demands, the to-do list, the pressure to perform, Jesus offers us something totally different, real rest for our souls. And that's really what we're going to unpack over the next 4 weeks. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be turning to Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And just before we do, I would like to say while we start 2025, if you don't have a Bible, then we here at Crossroads would love to give you one. We wholeheartedly believe in the transformative power of God's Word, and we would love nothing more than for you to start the year on the right foot with a Bible in your hand. So if you don't have a Bible, please come and see one of us. If you don't know who to come and see, just tap someone next to you. They'll point you in the right direction. But please do not leave this place if you don't have a Bible, because I really do believe that as we head into this year, that this word can transform your life. And so we're looking at Matthew 11 this morning, and it's in the red writing, which means we know it's important. I often tell the youth, anytime you see the red writing in the Bible, you pay extra close attention. It's the most important voice you could ever be listening to, amen? It's the voice of Jesus, and this is what it says this morning. It'll be up on your screens for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're in the new year, so let's talk New Year's for a moment, and in particular, New Year's resolutions. Anyone a fan? New Year's resolutions? No, just me? Sweet. I love a New Year's resolution. They make so much sense to me, right? Because you're motivated for a new year, where it's a fresh start, a chance to look forward. We kind of look forward with expectation. You know, 2025 is going to be my year. Anyone else? I've been saying it since 2013. Hey, this is going to be my year. All right? But we do, right? We look ahead with a bit of expectation. And in that motivation, we set ourselves some New Year's resolutions. And, well, I thought I'd do a bold thing with you this morning and share my New Year's resolution. Yeah, and bold I know, because now I'm going to have a whole church congregation to hold me accountable to this. But while I'm throwing myself under the bus, I may as well throw my good friend Jake and JC under the bus as well, because the three of us together this year have decided that we are going to run a marathon. Yeah, don't clap, we haven't done it yet. I should put a little disclaimer that I actually haven't completed a New Year's resolution ever. So I'm not starting off on the right foot. Ask my sisters. One year, I made a New Year's resolution to be less annoying. I gave up on the 1st of January at 12 o'clock because it just seems like everything I did was annoying. But anyway, We've set this New Year's resolution that we're going to run a marathon. And so something you should know about me is I don't like to go into things without being prepared. I love a goal. I love a challenge. I love the fact that I'm going to have to really put in some work to achieve something. But I like to know that if I do that work, I'm going to achieve the goal, right? I don't want to go into it blindly. So in this, I did some research on marathon running. I spent a couple of hours over the summer and I looked into it and I found some helpful information. I've cut my hair to help me out with the aerodynamics, so that's a lie. Anyway, no, but I did. I found some helpful information. I found that the amount of runs that I should do a week. I found what different distances that need to be, the optimal heart rate to try and stay at in this training. I even found some helpful information. Guys, honestly, come to me. I've got it all. I've got some helpful information for race day, you know, like you don't want to wear heavy clothing. You kind of want some of those chews or the what do they call them? Gels, yeah, to keep the energy levels up, right? And so I found it was all very helpful information, but nowhere in my research, and I say research like it was something extensive, it was really just a couple of ChatGPT searches, but it's besides the point. Nowhere in my research did I find that I should grab a bag of bricks and train while carrying, I'll get there, a bag of bricks on my back. Whew. You see, nowhere did it say go for runs with bag of bricks on your back. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, Ezra, you didn't need to go to ChatGPT for that. I could have told you that. Yeah, right. We know it's silly, right? I mean, even just kind of walking along the stage for a little bit, I can feel the weight of this thing. It's kind of digging into my shoulders. And if I was to train for a marathon like this, I'd probably cause a few injuries along the way. I'd probably barely make it to race day. Sure, I might run to some cool places, see some cool sights, maybe look out at a bunch of good-looking people, but I don't think I'm going to enjoy it much. It's going to be underlined by the fact that there is a real heaviness that I'm carrying around. And, you know, I kind of find it interesting that we're happy to all sit here and admit that running and training for a marathon with a bag of bricks on my back would be a silly idea. Yeah? Anyone thinking it's going to be a good idea? Oh, wow. Okay. Do some research. Go to ChatGPT. I'm telling you, it's not a good idea. But we're kind of happy to agree that it wouldn't be the most solid idea to train with a bag of bricks on my back, yet we go around life with a similar bag of bricks on our back. We call them burdens, right? And if I was to take this off and open it up, you can hear them, they're heavy. And I was to take some of these out and kind of show you some of the bricks that we're happy to carry around. Things like comparison. You know, like in a social media world where everyone posts their best bits online and none of the worst bits, all of the best bits, we're constantly comparing ourselves, aren't we? Some of us even come into church, you know, come as you are, yet I come in here and all I do is look around and compare myself to everyone. Some of us, we carry around worry, anxiety, and often it's the things that are out of our control. We look around the world and we see all that's happening and we think, oh man. And we worry, right? And rather than taking that and talking to our Father in heaven about it, we decide to hold on to it and worry about it, and it becomes a brick in our bag. All the parents know exactly what I'm talking about worry. How many of us just spend hours, days, weeks worrying about our children? What friends are they going to make? Are they going to follow in God's ways? Are they going to have a good education, a good job? And we just worry, worry, worry. Loss. Could be loss of a job, loss of a relationship, you know, relationship breakdowns. What started as something small and it's ended up in some of us haven't talked to brothers or sisters in years. Loss of a loved one, and what started off as actually some really healthy grief has now just ended up with a brick in our bag that I just cannot escape. This burden of loss, pressure to perform, pressure of finances. How am I going to pay off that debt? How am I going to get my next meal? Some of us, the opposite, the pressure where every decision you make, the first thing you think of is money. And there's a pressure to uphold the standard that you've set for yourself. Pride. I feel the silence in that one. Pride. It's a feeling of, I don't need any help. I'm pretty fine on my own. I've got this handled on my own. Yeah, I know the weight's heavy, and yeah, I know there's a lot going on there, but I don't need help. I've got it sorted. Last one, and there is many more that I haven't said and that I could say, but for the sake of having it on my back and having to carry it around, regret. We regret stuff in the past that we've done, decisions that we've made, and we know we can't really go back and change, and rather than laying it at the feet of Jesus, we regret. And we live in this constant state of shame, regret, guilt. And the reality is this morning that just because we've entered into a new year, this stuff doesn't magically go away. Just because the clock hit 12 at midnight doesn't mean that this stuff disappears. We're motivated, yes, and we're focused and we're ready to better ourselves, but unless brought to the feet of Jesus, these bricks will stay in that bag and that bag will stay on your back. Yeah, we may have been able to forget about it for a couple of weeks while we've had nice time with friends and family, but like I said, unless we bring it to the feet of Jesus, then the same bricks that we've been carrying around in 2024 and some of us 23 and 22 and 21 in the past 10 years, 15 years, the same bricks that we've been carrying around, unless we bring them to the feet of Jesus, are going to stay in that bag. And we know what it feels like, right? It feels like weariness. It's tired. I'm exhausted. The feeling of being beat down physically, emotionally, spiritually. I barely have the energy to go on. Our emotions are out of whack. We're overwhelmed. There's just a heaviness. Maybe this morning you've actually come in pretty optimistic, feeling like this is going to be a great year, and then Ezra hits you with the heavy stuff straight away, and you're like, it's the 12th of Jan, man. Calm down. But if we're honest with ourselves, we can all think of times where we've felt the weight of some of these things. Maybe you've come in this morning and actually no amount of holiday festives would have you forget the bricks in your bag. You know well aware what you've been carrying around. And for many of us, this stuff is actually no fault of our own. I mean, we've been trying. We've spent years trying. We've read the books. We've listened to the podcast. We've tried the routines. We've signed up to every course. We've listened to every piece of information from people who seem to have it all figured out. And yet, instead of the bag getting lighter, it only seems to get heavier. And others of us, we avoid. If I don't pay attention to it, then it doesn't exist. If I don't give it time, energy, or effort, then it'll go away. The last thing I want to do is dwell on it, so I avoid it. Others, we look for a temporary relief, something to ease the pain for a moment. Drugs, alcohol, sex, addiction, sin, whatever it is. When it subsides, we feel the weight more than we ever did. The truth is, our souls aren't searching for a fix. They're not searching for a temporary relief. Our souls, they long for rest. Rest with their Creator. And I want to tell you this morning, there is good news. Amen? There is good news. There is good news that there is a peace and a rest that your soul can experience. And I'm not talking about a physical rest. We can take a nap for that. In fact, that's what we do, isn't it? We work, 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 and then we rest. And we get up, go again. We work, 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 work. We pick up our bag of bricks. We put it on our back. We We put on a game face. We act like there's nothing wrong. I'm okay. I'm all good. My pride gets in the way. I work, 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 and then I rest. Anyone ever get back from a holiday and feel like they need a holiday from their holiday? If not, just come on a holiday with the Meehans. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like I've been resting, but I don't feel rested. Jesus wants us to experience something completely different. It's not a rest from work, it's a rest in work. I'll say it again, it's not a rest from work, it's a rest in work. It's a rest from striving, a rest from trying to prove yourself, a rest from trying to do it in your own strength. It's resting in His love, in His forgiveness, His faithfulness, His promises, His truth. It's resting in the fact that His power is made perfect in my weakness. A rest from the heaviness, the weight, a rest from the bag of bricks. And it's a gift, right? He's saying, I will give you rest. You don't earn it, you just receive it. This morning, as we begin 2025, Jesus is inviting you. The question is, will you accept the invite? In these verses, we read, Jesus is inviting us to do three things. He'll give us the rest. That's the promise. I'll give you rest. We just need to accept the invite to these three things. The first invitation, Jesus says, come to me. He's saying, I see you. I see the hurt. I see the worry. I see the struggle. I see the burdens. I see you're tired, you're stressed, you're worn out, you're overwhelmed, you've exhausted every other option. Now come to me. Bring it to me. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how far you may feel from Him right now. Come to me. Lay it at my feet. When you're tired of the grime, when you're tired of battling with anxiety, when you're tired of running on empty, when you're tired of carrying the bag on your own, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened. All. It's everyone. It's an open arm invitation. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not distant from you. He loves you and He tells you to come. And many of us, we sit here and we hear this invite. Whether we've been a Christian 20 years or 20 minutes, we hear this invite and instantly we start to think, oh, I'd love to come to Jesus. I've just got to sort out my language. Or I'll come, I've just got to stop watching that stuff on the internet. Or I've just got to sort out my anger issues. I've just got to tidy up this bag of bricks, and then I'll come. Jesus, He's not saying, sort that out and call me when you're done. He's saying the opposite. He's saying, you've tried it your way. Stop. Bring it to me. I can help you with that. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, He came not for the healthy, but the sick. He came not for the righteous, but the broken sinners like you and I. He came not for those who have it all together, but those who know they can't carry it on their own. He saw them. He saw their bag of bricks. He said, I can help you with that. I can give you rest. Just come to me. He loves you. He's waiting for you. And His arms are open wide. Come to the Word. Read it. Meditate it. Fall in love with it. It's living. It's breathing. And it'll renew your mind. Come in prayer. Talk to Him. Cry out to Him. Lay it all down before Him. Listen to Him. Just be with Him. Come and worship. Thank Him. Glorify Him. Get on your knees if you have to. Whatever it takes to magnify His name in your life, just come to Him. The first thing that Jesus invites us to do, it's come to Him. The second, He says, take my yoke. Jesus invites us to take His yoke. And a yoke, if you don't know what it looks like, I've got a picture here for you. This is what we call a yoke, and farmers, they would use this for a couple of reasons. The first is they would grab two animals and they would yoke them together. And the idea is that together, the two animals would do the work. So they would grab, if we use oxen for an example, he would grab two oxen of the same size, the same strength, the same kind of weight, and he would yoke them together to pull the load. Now, it's estimated that an ox on its own is able to carry or pull about the weight of its own, like its own weight in pulling. Yep, cool. But together, you know, naturally we think, okay, if I've got one and it's pulling its own body weight, then if I put two together, it's going to pull double the weight, right? Well, in actual fact, and maybe some of my farmers can agree with this, in actual fact that two oxen together, they can pull up to four times their body weight when they're working together. So as you can see, it's really a no-brainer for farmers. Why have one oxen carrying its body weight when I can get two together and they can carry a whole lot more together? They make each other stronger, they're able to rely on one another, and they do the work together. But there's another reason that a farmer would use one of these yoke. He would grab a younger, weaker, less experienced ox, and he would yoke him to a stronger, older, experienced worker ox. And the idea is that the younger, inexperienced ox would learn from the older ox. He would watch him. He would do what he does. If he goes that way, I'm going that way too. If he works at this pace, I'm going to slow down at work at this pace too. And actually, if I get a little tired and the weight's actually weighing me down a bit, it's okay because he's stronger than me. So I can lean on his strength. And actually, he's a good trainer, this ox. So he's going to see me when I'm getting tired and he's going to adjust the pace and slow it down to give me a bit of a rest. I just have to trust him, follow his lead, watch him, do what he does, be obedient to him. This morning, I want to tell you that Jesus is inviting you to take his yoke, to work at his pace, to follow his leadership, to trust his plan for your life. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus is teaching on rest, he uses a tool designed for work? Like I said earlier, it's not a rest from work, it's a rest in work. He's not promoting laziness. Rest isn't doing nothing. It's doing everything yoked to Jesus. He's saying, walk with the one who knows the work better than anyone else, and you'll find rest. The invitation, it's not just come hang out with me. It's get locked in with me. Never leave my side. Do life with me. So many of us, again, we think, Well, I can't get yoked up with him because I'm not strong enough. I haven't been serving at church long enough. I haven't read my Bible in over a month, and if I yoke myself to him, he might ask me some big theological question that I don't know the answer to. We get embarrassed. We see our bag of bricks. We feel guilt and we feel shame. I want to tell you this morning, he won't withdraw the invitation just because you're not where you think you need to be. Let's not confuse this. He's not expecting us to be equally yoked. We're not the two ox of the same strength. We're the younger, weaker ox. He's the older, stronger, experienced ox. He's the leader. He's the veteran. He's been doing this a long, long, long time. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows every brick inside your bag. He says, come, take my yoke. I'm humble and gentle in heart. I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be your place of comfort, strength, guidance. I just want to walk with you. I want to do life with you. I want to give you rest. It's kind of how I imagine it. He's like, this is Jesus. He's like, you like playing footy on a Saturday morning? So do I. Take me with you. You like having a cuppa with the girls on a Tuesday night? I love tea. I can hang with the girls. Take me with you. I see you've been struggling a little bit at work lately. I can help you with that. Just take me with you. Take me with you. And we like this idea, right? That Jesus would join us in what we're doing, that he would come and be close to us, that he would take our bag of bricks and give us rest. But what happens when we yoke ourselves to Jesus and his whisper starts to get a little louder in our ear? Hey, I don't really like the way you talk to that person. Hey, I know they hurt you and they haven't really done anything to make it right, but I want you to forgive them anyway. Hey, you see that guy over there? I want you to go and tell him I love him real quick. Man, you've been working some long hours lately, and I know you're putting in the work, you're trying to get that promotion, but I want you to leave work a bit earlier and go and spend some time with your kids. You see, I like that Jesus would join me in what I'm doing and how I like to live my life, my way of doing things. But me join him, join what he's doing, how he wants me to live, his way of life. You mean he might ask me to change some things? He might ask me to sacrifice some things? I was happy as long as it didn't require anything of me, as long as it didn't cost me anything. Jesus doesn't say he'll come and take your yoke. He says, you come and take my yoke. You tried it your way. Your yoke had you burdened and weary. It felt heavy. It felt like shame. It felt like sin. It felt like defeat. It's time we put our yoke to the side and pick up a different yoke. One that's described as easy and light. One where I don't have to strive or perform. A yoke where I find rest. But to take up this yoke, I have to put mine down. We have to decide to lay some things down at the feet of Jesus. Stop trying to lead your own life. You're not the leader here. You're the follower. Put Jesus back in his rightful position as Lord of your life. Take his yoke. Be in step with him. Tie your life to his every minute of every day. If he goes this way, I'm going to go this way too. And if he invites me to go over here, I'm going to go over here too. Sure, I might not have all the tools I think I need. The finances might not line up. The timing might not be ideal. The location might not be what I had in mind. But he's not asking me to have all that sorted. He's inviting me to come. And if he invites me to come, then I'm going to lay my life down and come. Why? Because I can rest knowing my life is yoked to the creator of this universe. And if he is for me, who can be against me? If I'm with him, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No lie of the enemy is going to steal my identity. No valley is going to drown me. No shadow is going to cloud my path. No bag of bricks is going to weigh me down. Amen? Take his yoke. Take his yoke. And finally, Jesus says, learn from me. He said, learn from me. The job of the younger ox, when it's yoked to the older, is to learn. To watch and then follow. To listen, then obey. Let me ask you, when you're yoked to Jesus, whose is the first voice you're going to hear? Listen to him. Learn from him. Be obedient to him. How does he handle these situations? What does he do with these bricks? I feel like we kind of get a picture of it in Matthew 8. Jesus and the disciples, they're on the boat. And a raging storm comes and it starts to kind of crash the boat around. And what do the disciples do? Much like what many of us do when our storms come in life, they start to freak out about. They get full of fear and they're overwhelmed and they're really worried and they've probably got a few bricks they're dealing with. They look over at Jesus. And the man's sleeping. Their world is falling apart around them. They can worry. They can see what's happening. They can see the storm. And they look over and Jesus is taking a nap. The disciples, they were restless. Jesus, he was resting. And when the storm comes in our life, when the bricks get heavy, are we restless like the disciples?
or are we resting like Jesus? Because if I'm learning from Jesus, he said, learn from me. And if I'm learning from him, if I'm following him, if I'm imitating what he does, then if he's resting in the middle of my storm, maybe I too should be resting. Instead of worrying and stressing about the things that are out of my control, maybe I should fix my eyes on Jesus and allow him to fight my battle for me. I don't have this all figured out right now, but I'm in relationship with the one who does. I'm yoked to the one who does. So I'm going to watch him. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to follow his way. And if he's not stressing, best believe you won't find me stressing either. Can you stand while I pray for you? You know, I wonder what 2025 could look like, and if instead of saying, this is my year, we said, Lord, this is your year. Take my life. I'm coming to you. I want to be yoked to you. Use me as your vessel. What if we walked out of here this morning and accepted the invitation that Jesus so graciously offers us? We say, I'm done carrying around this bag of bricks. I'm laying them at your feet. I want to experience the rest that you say you'll give me. Jesus, we come before you this morning so grateful for your gift of rest. Father, I pray for every heart right now, Lord, open to receiving your gift of rest, to receiving your invitation. Father, we know that you are here. You're knocking at the door. You say, I stand, I knock. Whoever opens that door, I come in and eat with that person. Lord, I pray for hearts that open the door right now to you this morning. Lord, help us to accept that invitation, to come to you, to yoke our lives to you, to learn from you. What an example you are. Thank you that you're happy for us to lay it all down at your feet. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it, Lord. Yet you so graciously give it. We praise your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content, but thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.